Hello, today we're on Psalm 18. Now, I can't go through every verse of Psalm 18. It's 50 verses long, so to do that in under 10 minutes would be quite a feat. But I just want to get on some of the general lines and bring out a few points that may encourage us. It's a Psalm of David, and the heading, the superinscription of the psalm is this: The Psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke to the Lord the words of the song on the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And so it's a psalm of praise and adoration to the Lord upon David's victory, final victory over Saul. And actually, if you were to look back in 2 Samuel chapter 22, it's essentially the same. It's the same psalm. The words are almost the same as 2 Samuel chapter 22 with some variations. So it's a psalm of praise, a psalm of thanksgiving, you know, coming from the lips of David. We think of his circumstances at that time. He had been a fugitive in the wilderness of Judea. His circumstances were bleak, although he had been anointed to be the Lord's king. Yet he was basically a fugitive there in the wilderness of Judea and hiding from Saul and running from cave to cave with his men. And sometimes their supplies were running low, and sometimes even his men were on the verge of mutiny. And on some occasions he was completely surrounded by his enemies, and David would be discouraged. But he looked up to the Lord, and the Lord wrought a great victory for him. Now, many of the features of this psalm, of course, we can't literally apply to the Christian when it comes to the warfare. For example, in verse 37, I pursued my enemies and overtaken them, neither did I turn back till they were destroyed. I have wounded them so they shall not rise. They have fallen under my feet, for you have armed me with strength for the battle. And so on. Or in verse 33 or 34, he teaches my hands to war so that the bow of steel is broken by my arms. There we get the warfare that David was involved in. But nevertheless, as Christians, we are involved in a spiritual battle, spiritual warfare, and we're exhorted to put on the whole armor of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says, verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. You know, he says, we war not against flesh and blood. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. So we have to keep that in mind, that we are in a warfare. We're surrounded by enemies, not human enemies, although the devil may use flesh and blood, but they're not the enemy. And the Christian has has a target on his back, the bullseye on his back. The devil wants to put an end once and for all to the Christian testimony in any way that he can. Of course, that will fail, because the Lord Jesus will build his assembly. The gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Even death itself will not hold it. But as individual Christians, we are under attack, and we have to be aware of that. So put on the whole armor of God, which we can boil down to essentially two things, is the Word of God and prayer. We have to have that link of communications open to heaven. Very important. Now, there's a lovely verse here in the psalm. There's lots of lovely verses, but we can't look at them all. Verse 35 says, Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, thy right hand hath held me up, and thy gentleness has made me great. Isn't that a lovely thought? It's the gentleness of the Lord that made David great. Literally from the Hebrew, I think that from the Darby translation gives it this way: Thy condescending gentleness has made me great. That is, the Lord came down into David's circumstances when he was at his darkest time. We can think of a time when, one point where David's men were rebelling against him. They were in virtual mutiny. And David says that he encouraged himself in the Lord. Well, the Lord entered into his circumstances. The Lord descended. The Lord came down. And isn't that lovely? It's for the same for us, brothers and sisters. It's the condescending gentleness of the Lord. Just think of the one who came from heaven and came down here to be in our circumstances. It's the same one that we can call upon for help when the enemy is attacking us. But then we just move on through the psalm. And actually, the final verses of the psalm really is messianic in its character. Now, I've said before that some of the psalms are entirely messianic and some of the psalms just portions. Not all the features of David here can be applied to the Lord Jesus, but some of them can, and I believe are messianic. You know, it says in Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And what that means is that all the Old Testament prophets, their main focus always is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there's other things that they're speaking about, that's only to move us along to that point where Christ is the focus, either his sufferings or the glories that will follow his coming kingdom. Peter brings that out in his first epistle, chapter 1, verse 10 to 11. But the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of all prophecy. And so when we look at verse 43, for example, it says, "You have delivered me from the strivings of the people. You have made me the head of the nations." And that looks forward to the millennial day. "A people I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they obey me. The foreigners submit to me. The foreigners fade away and come frightened from their hideouts." That's at the coming of the Lord in the beginning of the millennium, and there will be a submission made to Christ. Verse 50, "Great deliverance he gives to his king and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forevermore." So it's David and his descendants. And the prime descendant of David, the seed of David, the son of David, God's true anointed, the king of Israel, the king of the Jews, is the Lord Jesus Christ. So the testimony of the Spirit is pointing beyond David to the Lord Jesus, when all the nations will submit themselves to him in a coming day, which I believe is not too far off, thank God. But there's an interesting verse here. We get in, just drop down to verse 44. "As soon as they hear of me, they obey me." And now notice this, "The foreigners submit to me." They submit to me. But in the margin of your Bible, or if you have one of the newer translations, you'll see this. "They feign submission to me." It's a feigned submission, is what what the Hebrew brings out. And I have here in the margin of my Bible, feigned obedience, a feigned submission or a feigned obedience. And this is what we see, of course, in the millennium, in Revelation chapter 20, at the end of the millennium, there'll be a great rebellion against the authority of Christ. And that means that there were many amongst those in the millennium who were not truly saved, who, when Christ came, all bowed their knee to him, and their descendants and their offspring probably professed him to be the king of all the earth, because he will be the king of all the earth in that coming day. The Lord will be the king over all the earth, Zechariah tells us. But there will be a feigned submission, and because it's not from the heart. But that can happen even today, and we see it actually in Christendom, where multitudes of millions of people have been confirmed or baptized. They go to church on Sunday, or maybe they just go to church on Christmas and Easter. But they live in such a way that there's not an element of Christ in their life, not a whiff, not a savor, not even any indication that there's any divine life there at all. It's a feigned submission. And may we be preserved from that. May our submission be genuine by the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And may we put on the armor of God, reading the Word of God and keeping in prayer, in communion with Him, and thus be preserved from our enemies which are round about us.